Okay, so here we are. So tonight's special because tonight we're going to look at some pretty significant changes here, and I'm really excited because of what God is doing and what God is saying to us. And so if you could bring up on your overhead Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, that'll be great. Andre brought me a book which was written by a mutual friend, a small booklet really, and it's been a brilliant time reading it this week as we've been hanging out together. And this booklet focuses on this man's desperate need, longing to see the church restored to what God intended it to be. And this is the same thing that runs in dots in my heart as well. So the book has been a blessing. But one of the things that he focused on was Haggai 1 and 2 as a picture of the church, past, present, and future, and an overall look at what God is going to do. And Haggai is a prophet, and it's at the time that Jerusalem is being restored and the exiles are returned. And there's a need to rebuild the temple, which had been destroyed. And the people are understandably building their own houses first before they get the temple built. And God speaks through Haggai into the situation. And I want to just pick up from Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive, and everything else that ground produces, on people and livestock, and in all the labor of your hands. Haggai is bringing a word of correction to the nation and saying, understandably, you're restoring your own lives because you've been in exile for 70 years, but God wants it to be his life that they came back for. God wants his people to be centered on him before they're centered on anything else. And you might think that it's perfectly reasonable that they were doing what they were, but God is saying to them that as long as that is your priority, I can never give you the fullness of what I wanted to give you. And as Haggai brings this word to the people respond to God, and the people begin to make the initial processes of rebuilding the temple. And God is so amazing that the moment they change their hearts, he begins to encourage them. And he begins to speak words of strength and growth to them and promising them all kinds of blessing that will come forth just by their decision to follow God and do what he has asked them to do. And make God the center of their lives and the purpose for which they live and where they're going. And so it tells us of the story of these people, and we can just draw an analogy here of them going up to the mountains to bring down timber, to rebuild, obviously, the temple because they need the timbers. We know that Jesus has now declared that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God also tells us that we are living stones built into the temple of God. And so each one of us is a stone holding onto the stones alongside us, holding up the temple of God. They're not all kingdom faith stones. Very few of them are. We are all. And that's sort of the beauty of last Friday when we met at Emmanuel with six other churches to worship God, we were the stones of the temple holding up the temple together. It's not little Kingdom Faith temples and Commonwealth Church temples and Anglican temples. It's one temple, and we are all living stones, members of the one body. There are not several little bodies that go on out there. And you know, last night was so in the heart of God, it was beautiful. But we understand that what God is asking us to do is come into His presence in an increased way now, like never before. That this is a time where God is calling His church to come into His presence. And I can draw an analogy between going into the mountains to bring back timber and coming up the mountain of God to encounter the presence of God. And in that place, the temple begins to be strengthened. In that place, when we make that the priority, the temple begins to grow and God begins to fulfill His plan and His purpose. He stops up the holes in our purses. He stops the things that damage our income. He stops the things that take away the abundance and the joy that He has intended for us. He also stops the enemy from stopping up the ears of the people out there who need to get saved, and enables them to come back, to come to Him in greater and greater numbers. And I believe that this is in the heart of God, that more and more now we will begin to see an outpouring of God's glory drawing the lost to Him through signs, wonders, and miracles, that people will discover the glorious One, that people will become saved, not because they prayed after you some sort of prayer of salvation, but their hearts were changed and their lives were set free and they came to salvation in Christ. And this has got to be our absolute determination to see God's glory come forth in this way. And this is the season that God has spoken to of and told us this season is coming upon the earth, and this is our time to see this happen. It takes no guess for any of us to look at the world at the moment and see that the world is on a downhill slide, politically, economically. Geophysical events are happening at a rate that have never happened before. Things are happening out there which is crazy. There are nations now whose debt can never be repaid. It is beyond anything the nation could ever find to repay their debt. There are wars breaking out everywhere. There are places where the armed forces are unable to hold what is going on, and nations are breaking down in absolute disruption and despair. In the midst of all that, we have this promise from God, this glorious picture of His temple on the earth, radiating His glory, where His presence is, where His healing comes to the nations, and where the glory of Jesus overshadows our lives. So there's this dichotomy between what is happening out there and what God is saying is going to happen. And you know something, guys? We can't change that world out there by going out there with brilliantly produced tracts. We can't change it with DVDs and smoke machines and anything else we like. We cannot change anything, but God can. The great, the I Am enters into the situation and it changes it. People can be saved out of darkness. People can be set free. People can be given new life. People can be healed. People can be set free to know the glorious One. Haggai reminds us five times in those two chapters to give careful thought to our ways. And it's very interesting. Give careful thought to what you're doing, how you're living. Give careful thought to your ways. And I want to put the question to all of us tonight. Do you believe that it's possible for us to change this world and still live as part of it? Do you believe it's possible to change the values of a system out there by being part of the value systems that are out there? I don't think even the most brilliant economists in the world can do that. I don't think the most brilliant politicians can succeed. But God is calling us to come up the mountain like never before into His presence. And there to lay a hold of Him. The One who can speak a word and bring forth His glory on the earth without any difficulty. And he's saying, give careful thought to your ways. What are you believing will change this world? If you want to see a change, what do you believe will do it? What do you think is going to make a difference? How are we living and how should we live if we are to see this world change completely? We started this work 8 years ago in Soho. A bunch of people came together and began to pray. And we prayed, and I think we got to about 25 odd people in this small little hot space. And it was just amazing because we didn't do anything else but pray. We prayed and God seemed to move and God seemed to unite our hearts and God seemed to make us excited about what he was going to do. And there was a release of God's glory. And I'll never forget the excitement when Graham came back and he said he'd spoken to the police down the road. And they said, since we've been praying, the muggings have dropped in the area. And I thought, wow, this is making a difference. This is worth doing. And it was so encouraging for us. You know, this little band of people holding on to God there. And I don't know. We all vary in how long it was. Anybody going to want to take a stab? Dot says 9 months. How long? Anybody got any other ideas? I can't remember. It was a long time. And after a long time, we started meeting here. And when we started meeting here and praying through the night twice a month on a Friday night. We just had these amazing nights. And it was incredible because we made God our priority. We wanted to climb this mountain and go into the presence of God. And at that time, I'll never forget, there were students that used to come through from Oxford University on the bus. And they came down to the prayer meeting and they just came to be in the prayer meeting. They went back to university on Saturday morning. And there was just this sense of life. And we used to finish with a great breakfast up there. We used to all have bacon butties afterwards. And it was just great fun to spend the time together. And you know, when you go through things together, which are a little extreme, you kind of get to feel part of the family. You feel friendly with each other. And it was a very special time. And I believe this was so in the heart of God and what he's wanting us to do. I want to share with you a word that was brought here in 2005 by a prophet called James Maloney. And it was a significant word. And I think it really established the basis on which we were to go forwards. And the first thing he said, we are commissioned to establish an open heaven in this geographic location. And it's absolutely phenomenal that God asked a small little handful of people, hey guys, I want you to open the heavens over this little geographic location. I want you to make a way for my glorious light to shine into the city. He said, I'm calling you to contend for the faith and for sound doctrine. In other words, I'm calling you not be flaky. I'm not calling you to run after every new teaching that happens to rear its head. I'm calling you to hold to my word and that my word should substantiate everything that you do. Then he says, we're a radical core group with the right heart. I love that. Contending for a revival or a spiritual awakening to demonstrate to our city that there is a God out there. And we're commissioned to make him real to this city. So God says, I want you to reveal me to this city out there because you encounter the reality of my life. And then he said, through history, it has often been a small handful of people who have brought changes to a society, a revival core with a right heart, turning their lives of worship into the salvation of the masses. Now see this against that background of Haggai going up the mountain. The temple of God, of which we are the living stones, going up the mountain and in that place of going up the mountain there, releasing the salvation of the masses just because we did that. God is causing his favor to rest upon us and his face is turned towards us and we cannot do anything without him. He wants us to become his habitation set apart for his purposes in the city of London. So God says, I want to dwell amongst you. Now we know that God dwells by his spirit in each one of us. But there's a different dynamic that God wants to dwell amongst us in. It's a dynamic where his tangible presence begins to manifest itself in the midst of his people. Where God's presence becomes stronger and stronger. And his glory begins to outweigh the sense of disappointment of what's going on outside there. He wants to entrust the full weight of his glory upon this congregation, which absolutely blows us away. He says, we are positioned to be watchmen on the walls of this city. Now, that's really interesting because I think I'm going to just go and tell you what I found. This is watchmen. I just wanted to quote this out of Isaiah 62. It says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. So you see the function of the watchmen on the wall, watchwomen and watchmen, are people who position themselves in such a place that they are in touch with the spirit realm and the Holy Ghost is revealing to them what is going on out there. They begin to pray and contend in such a way that they begin to deal with spiritual ebbs and flows that are going on in the city around them. And so they begin to have a significant role of dealing with what is happening in the spirit realm over the city. They're able to alert the city and alert the church to what is going on out there. They're able to say to the church, then there's a need to step up the prayer. There's a need to step up the worship. There's a need to release because there's a new onslaught coming, or the king is coming. Get ready. And so the function of the watchman is extremely important. He says we're to call on the Lord day and night until God establishes his influence in our city. So it's like not a kind of a quick prayer meeting. It's like not just Monday night and Wednesday night. But God is saying, I want you to become people who call on me day and night because I want to establish my influence here, but I know what it's going to take to achieve that. I know that it's going to take people who are going to climb this mountain to take hold of this promise. We're to be people who watch for the king and make way for him. Two things. Watching for the king means that you spent your time focused outward of yourself on Jesus, looking at what Jesus is doing. But the second part is making way in your own life and in the communal life of the body for the inrush of God into the body of Christ. We'll report anything unlawful. Watch the works of the enemy as scouts in the world, and we have talked about that already. We're to protect the city and position people for protection, security, community, and salvation. If we're not happy with what's happening in our city, and we are not happy about many things that happen here in this city, we have to take some responsibility because there's a force of darkness that is often winning and pressing harder than we are. We're holding on for the glory of Jesus. So what we're seeing is the enemy, like when the man was hacked to death in the streets in Woolwich, it should have caused an anger to rise up in us, not because of what happened as in a political sense, but it's on our watch over our territory. And there has to be a determination that we have to take responsibility and we have to say, God, we must step up. We must stand in a place where we are able to take control over what comes on in the city because we are called to be those people that are able to do this. As watchmen, we create a wedge of God's grace into the city. We are called to be gatekeepers. Now, it's interesting with the wedge because the wedge widens. And as you create a wedge, you have to drive into the heart of the city. That means you have to really contend to go in there. But once you go in there, you've got the ability to open up and make the way for others to rush in and the kingdom to grow and the kingdom influence in the city. We're called to be gatekeepers of the spiritual gates of the city who have dominion and authority. We've already talked about that. We're to see the spiritual gates opened in the city. We're to be the ones who proclaim, lift up your heads, O your gates, that the King of glory may come in. Our mandate is to declare, lift up your gates. Who's blocking the gates at the moment? The political forces. Paul says, we war not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers. The weapons of our warfare are mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. So we have a responsibility to war in the spirit realm. But the way you war in the spirit realm is by worshiping. We'll come to see as God shows us. We're to go through the gates into the city, preparing the way for the and lifting up a standard for the people to follow us. We are the ones who are to declare the way open. We're the one who meant to open the way that others come in. Through the ministry of praise, worship, and tears, the harp and bowl, we contend for the release of multitudes through the gates into the city of God. Not the city of London, but the city of God. We're the ones who declaring the way, making the way, laying down our lives that the people can walk over us into the kingdom of God. Through our lives laid down, our lives being expendable for the glorious one to be exalted in our midst. He then talks about the restoration of the Benjamin Gate. If you go and look at Zechariah chapter 14, verse 10, you'll read that there is a Benjamin gate. He says, we need the breaker anointing spoken of in Malachi, in Micah 2:13, which simply says the king will go out before them, they will follow him. Multitudes of young people will come through that gate. Sorry? I can't hear what you're saying to me. I'm so sorry. I'll start again. For the restoration of the Benjamin Gate, we need the breaker anointing of Malachi 2:13, which is prophetic praise, worship, and travail. I got you. Multitudes of young people come through that gate. Just as Rachel had to travail and die in order to give birth to Benjamin, Rachel called him Benjamin Ben-Oni, the son of my trouble, but with the eyes of faith, Jacob saw him as the Benjamin son of my right hand. We're to build for the next generation and to see the youth from God's perspective, sons of my right hand. We're to refuse to look at the young people of this city or this nation or the nations of Europe and see them as a problem. We're to see them as through the eyes of faith, as possibilities, as what God, as God sees them. We are those who have the power to bind or loose. God gives us the keys of the kingdom. The anointing equips us to impact the society. It makes us unique, peculiar, a catalyst for power, able to change everything around us without being changed by it. So that's it. We can dispense with all the electronics now and just get back to normal, which is lovely. Okay, so I wanted to put that prophecy before you because I wanted to remind you of what God has been saying to us and what God is saying that we are to go out and do. So as we now are in that place, we understand that the mandate God handed us first and foremost is praise and worship. And God said, that's what I called you to be, a place of praise and worship. You don't have another mandate. That's the mandate I'm handing you. I just want to, just want to look at that and just understand it a little bit. But I was telling the guys the other day when, before I came to live in England, long before I even knew I would come and live here, I had a dream in South Africa, and in that dream, I was walking along a street in London. I've no idea where it was, and I passed a building which just looked like another office building, but it had a door that was open, and I walked through the door, and there was this huge, huge foyer, and in the foyer were loads of people, and they were just kind of having coffee and talking, and there was a coffee bar on the left and on the right where you could get coffee, and people were just talking and hanging out. But then there was a door in the far side of the room, and I walked through the door, and there was this huge auditorium, and it had a gray carpet on the floor. I so remember it. And as I walked in, people were just walking into this auditorium, and they were beginning to kneel and just began to worship the Lord. And there was a platform in the front, and there was nobody on the platform, no musicians, no leader, and the Holy Spirit was leading the people. And God put this dream in my head. Now, what a strange dream. Why would I dream about being in London and seeing this season of worship and praise going on at that time? So it didn't surprise me, because when Dot and I came to England, the only thing we brought, we're not great evangelists. We're not amazing teachers. We can teach. We can pastor. We love people and we can disciple people and help people's lives grow. But what we do are, we are presence of God people. That is our DNA. We don't have another DNA. Our whole DNA works on getting into the presence. We love to pray. We love to worship. We love to get in the presence and feel the glory of God and then press in further and see our ability to shift and change what's going on in the nations and in our lives just by doing that, because we understand the power that is released when we do that. 4 years ago, I was sleeping, we were sleeping, and I heard this voice in our bedroom, and it was loud and it woke me up. And it was simply this: you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And I shot up out of bed and I looked at Dot, and she was fast asleep, but it couldn't have been her. It was a man's voice. And I thought, wow, who was that? There's nobody here. And I realized that God is speaking of his desire to see a place in this city which is set apart for glorious worship and exaltation, where the presence of God begins to enter in and then flows out into the streets and begins to heal people and begin to set people free. And so there's this transaction with heaven that God is wanting to begin to see happening. So here we are. We're on Friday. But what we have to stop doing is doing Sunday on Friday, because it's not what God told us to do. If you look at what God's blessing, and God is pouring grace into in this work. It's the burns and the worship and the encounters with God. And then you understand where God is putting us now and what God is asking us to do. God is asking us to come up the mountain and come to His place. God is saying, I call you to a specific call. And it's really interesting. You know, before I left Kingdom Faith Horsham to come to London to with Dot, before we came here to start this work, I was sitting in an elders meeting one day, and Pastor Colin has this infuriating way of dropping things into you then saying, I don't know anymore, God didn't say anymore. And all he said to me is, as you're speaking, God just suddenly says to me, when you move to London, what you will start there will be greater than a local church. It'll be much wider than a local church. He says, it will come out of Kingdom Faith, but it won't look like Kingdom Faith. And I said, what? What? Tell me. He said, I don't know. I don't know anymore. That's all God said. And, you know, it's infuriating. But if you think about wider, what does he mean? Where does it go? Well, the only way I can see wider working is in the Spirit. We begin to move out in the Spirit. We begin to worship. We begin to pray. We begin to break out in ways that we don't break out in normal churches. And God says, this is what I've called you guys to do. I've called you to do this. I've called you to open up. So how do we proceed? I believe the 8 years we've been here, we have seen some amazing seeds sown in the soil of this land. We have seen so much prayer. We've seen so much worship. But I believe that in the time we're living and for the purpose that God has called us, it is time for us to go higher up this mountain. It's time to go higher up into the presence of God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to change the Friday nights to become worship nights every Friday. So this will be the last time, as far as I know, that you will ever sit in rows in this church. There will be chairs around the edge, and we will have burns. Our aim ultimately is to have a burn going on all the time in London. Our aim is to move towards finding a place where we can have burns going on day and night worship, day and night intercession, and the glorious sounds of worship moving out of the building and bringing in the lost out of darkness, because they will be drawn to God's presence and they will not be able to resist what God wants, because that is the mandate that God has given us. He said it's day and night intercession and worship that He will begin to stir the hearts of this city. And we have got to respond to what God says, because God wants us to tremble at His word and say, God, if you said it, we have to do it. I believe that our meetings on Friday will include prophetic release, prophetic praise, and a lot of ministry to people. It's time to start ministering in the Spirit to people again in this church. God says it's time for people for a team to be set apart, trained up, and moving about the room and ministering to people, so that people begin to receive more than they have been, to help people break through into another dynamic altogether. We will start having seeing people going through deliverances and freedoms coming in their lives like never before, so that people come to the wholeness that Christ wants them to come to. You know what excites me is that the people who get saved will get saved into an authentic expression of God's presence on the earth. We will have teaching groups where they can go and be taught, and they will be brought into maturity and nursery schools in that way. But the purpose of these meetings will be to go up the mountain all the time. Going up the mountain, retrieving what God wants so that the earth can be set free for the glory of God. The other thing we believe that we want to see, we view our house where we live, our flat, we see it as a community flat. It's a place where people can come as often as they can. So we have people coming twice a week at the moment to pray and to worship, but we want to see these grow. Martin Sanger had a word a few years ago about London, seeing London with a ring of fire all around it. And then we saw like a bicycle wheel with spokes coming in and the connecting to a fire burning in the middle. And so the city is encompassed with people who are worshiping and people who are interceding, and God's glory is being released onto the earth over and over and over. And this becomes the mandate and the purpose that God has for us. We believe that God wants us to share our lives. He truly is calling for authentic community as an experience, where people will begin to share their lives, not just once a week in a meeting, but people begin to live together. People begin to share costs. People begin to share a community vision. Will there be community houses with people who will live together to fulfill Acts 2:43 and Acts 4:32. Go and read them. They're very exciting verses. But to understand what God has called the church to look like, guys, I don't think it's working too much. Because if it was, we wouldn't be in the trouble we're in the world right now. It's time for the church to arise into the purpose that God has for it. A place of extraordinary worship, a place of extraordinary encounter with God, a place of reaching out and reaching lost people, and a place where they're brought into an authentic community experience where they encounter the glory of God and the presence of God every day. And God begins to set them free, and God begins to give them a sense of purpose in their lives. I believe that what God is looking for are the people who will not love the bride as much as they will love the bridegroom. The bride is the church. And I think that a lot of people have been making disciples of the church and not disciples of the King. And it's time to not connect people to your church organization. It's time to connect people to Jesus. It's time for us to not want to own people in the body of Christ and say, oh, they've got to belong to us. Go through our Jump Into Church program in order to participate. No, I believe that we have to become a resource center for the body of Christ where anybody can come in and join in worship, join in exaltation, join in prayer in any of those venues. Because that's authentic what the body of Christ should be looking like. And so what happened last week on Friday night should happen a whole lot more. With the body of Christ working together in that awesome way. I believe that God wants to see love. We believe God wants to see love come and grow up between us like nothing we've ever seen before. That we truly represent Jesus on the earth. We love the bridegroom and we love the bridegroom's bride because we love the bridegroom. And we love each other and people are safe in this place. You know, so many of the people who come on a Friday, on the burn night, say, come to Dot and I and say, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you. You're opening up an opportunity for us to worship for hours on end and encounter God's presence, and we feel safe here to do it. So many of the worship leaders come to us at the end of their slot and say, thank you guys for doing this. We don't have anywhere else where we can worship for an hour and a half without any constraints, without any restraints, but simply because all we're told is encounter God. And I really believe that it is a valuable resource for the body of Christ for us to be participating in. I believe that what this has to become is an apostolic prayer and worship hub. Apostolic in as much as it is missional. It reaches out. It brings the lost, but it brings the lost into authentic experience of the kingdom. Okay, I've talked about that. And that as well. I jump right ahead of myself. When we recently spent time with Sean Feucht, who is the guy who started the whole burn thing in the world, Sean was talking about the need to see worshipers being trained in the whole art of worship, and particularly musicians and worship leaders. And he said there's such a need for a training facility to come about. Now, a few years ago, we began to talk about beginning to train people as well and beginning to set up a place where in time we kind of interns, people who come for a year and give their time to just become trained and released into worship, to fill worship slots so that we can see worship going on in a far greater measure than we have up to now. How does this work? It works from a team base. You are a little team of people, yet you already resource an amazing amount of people in this city just because you serve the way you do, making teas and coffees, overhead projector, PA system, musicians, setting up, breaking down, packing away, cleaning up. All that is serving a massive, massive part of the body of Christ. And one day you're going to get to glory and you have no idea what your serving has begun to do in the lives of people. But as we begin to go, prophetic ministries will begin to increase. We'll begin to train people. I want to see people set free from the things that hold them back from becoming sons of God. And we'll do whatever we have to do, help people to get that place. But in the end, what I have to accept and we have to understand is that not everybody might want to be part of that. And the reason I have to tell you this is that, you know, Mike and Kay Chance, they're coming here in July. And they started a ministry in Germany 34 years ago called the Glaubenszentrum. And they began to establish this place as a training base for training people in the Word of God. And they started a worship ministry. And there was a lot of prayer that went into it. And after a while, they realized that they couldn't move further than they were. And what they did is they sat down and redefined the vision and said, this is our vision. This is what God has called us to do. And we're asking people who share our vision to be part of this. But if you're not part of the vision, then maybe you need to go somewhere else where your vision can be expressed as you want to express it. And they had a team at that stage of 35 people and all but 11 or 12 left. And they started it off. But they started with 12 people with one heart and one mind, one vision. So that everybody that joined from then on were part of the vision, weren't part of some other vision. And so what God is calling us to is just to come to this point where we have to say what we're going to do is going to require us to have the same vision. We can't do what somebody else wants because that causes a problem. We have to do what God says. And so we're asking you to carefully evaluate. Do you feel that this is the vision that you need to be part of? Is this what God calls you to be part of? Must you say you're nuts? You're hardly getting people, you're still getting rid of more. I'd rather have two people with me who've got the same vision than 100 people who all want to run in different directions because you can't build anything. So that's exactly where we are. We're saying we go where we're going. And if you want to be part of it, you're awfully welcome. But we have to be clear on what we had to do. So, like Zerubbabel, like the guys who had to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, God is calling us to build a temple of living stones in this city. A temple that were made up of the most incredible worship. That worship venues will become too small eventually. We might have to start more than one worship venue. But that's exactly what God wants us to do. And this is what I wanted to lay before you. So, from next week, when you come here, you won't find rows of chairs, but you will find a burn going on. And you'll find a burn going on every Friday night here. They won't all go on till midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning, but this one will, this next one we're having, which is next Friday, is it? Week after next. And that's going to go through till 6 in the morning. And so, guys, this is where I'm going. This is where Dot and I are going and Ruth. And this is where we feel God is speaking about to us about to move into. We're pushing strongly into that place. We're not reversing out of this. We want to be totally faithful to what God has told us to do. And we have no desire to follow somebody else's model, somebody else's pattern. If somebody wants to do something different, it's better they go somewhere else and do the thing that's different there. But we have to do what God's given us to do. We want to see people saved, truly saved out of darkness, into the glorious presence of God, knowing that presence and being set free by the power of Jesus Christ. So that's it. And it's 9 o'clock. Paul, I've done it again. Okay, now if you have any, are there any questions? This is why we're here. Does people think we're a bit nuts? Don't like the idea? I don't mind, even if you don't agree, it's all right. Yes. It'll be in a prophetic sense. We'll still have that. And we're going to have training programs going on outside of here. But and I really appreciate you saying that, thank you. But what we will be doing is, this is be a place of worship in the presence of God. I understand that. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. I believe that God will use that prophetically, and we will still have, in the midst of worship, we'll have Ezekiel coming up with revelation and saying, God has just said the following, and I just need to put this into you guys right now. And for 10 minutes, he'll put something into your lives, and then we'll go on and worship. And some teams will go around ministering to people and ministering what God has just said. Or any of the other people that we train up as a team that is ready to do this. Fantastic. Yes, Zeek. Initially, only until probably 9:30. But once a month, all night, and then ultimately it will extend it to go on for longer, many more hours. I don't believe that we need to all come to all the hours, but I believe that in our heart there's got to be determination to be part of the worship. And even if you come and say, I'm giving 3-4 hours, and then I've got to go home and sleep, that's understandable. Particularly when we go into day and night worship, which I believe is God, what God has been speaking to us for a very long time to be doing. Okay, sorry, Claire. I think the Spirit will do whatever He wants to do. And I mean, I loved what you guys did tonight. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. But it might be completely different the following week. My main heart I think it would probably mostly be worship with music, yes, because it's the concept of David's tent, which is bringing the coming to the place where we give 24 hours of glorious worship and exaltation to God. But as you know, we have loads of different musicians who are really happy to take part in this. So we will have different ones every week, I would imagine, doing this. I understand, but I think, yes, it will be musical. All of it will be musical, I believe. Anybody else? I didn't see that hand. So, oh, awesome. Awesome. Awesome, Reuvent. Only she understands that. Okay, so that's it, guys. I'm really excited. I'm happy to do what God said. I'm happy to get out of what I desperately want to get out of and get into what God said we got to do. And I want to see, you know, on Friday nights when we're here and the worship's just going amazing places and the sound of worship's going under the streets, that some of the guys will go out and God will begin to save people. You bring them back and they come back and they encounter the glorious one and they get set free even further. That truly is our heart and our longing. But we don't want to do church. We don't want to have church with all the normal trappings of church. The women's group and the flower group and all the other things. We want, we understand that we have people with little children and we love little children. And I believe little children can be worshippers of God at any age and they can learn to participate in worship in the same way that adults can. Okay, some people may have a vision to start a children's worship group with children. That's absolutely brilliant. Zeke, if you've got a vision for that, you've got a job. Okay, that's it. Okay, bless you guys. Thank you. So, I'm not going to give you any announcements except to say we'll be here next week at 7:30 to worship God. And if you'd like to join us, we're so welcome. Tell your friends. We're certainly going to put up on Facebook. We're going to tell everybody who currently comes that there's worship. There's a resource available to the body of Christ every Friday night here.